We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Praise Band Josh, for leading them. And you can actually put your hands together. Did they good job tonight? We as a church, we could not do what we do by way of the different various ministries that I'm connected with. I couldn't do what I do without Josh and his help and my leaders and what they do on a weekly basis, week in and week out. And so you got a little taste tonight by way of music, how they lead on Wednesdays with our teens. And so I'm very thankful for our teens up here who were serving and singing and playing. And so we're always excited about that. I always enjoy seeing that. So no one likes this job, to preach before the cake auction, because I know where your mind's at, and I know where my mind's at. No, I'm just kidding. So I want to take tonight as an opportunity to communicate to you a little bit, and hopefully in greater detail, about not only what our mission is as our youth ministry here at Faith, but what also God's been doing in our youth ministry in the past few months, and what God's been really in my heart and in our youth ministry in the past 6 months to a year, really even. And so the cake auction, let's talk about that a little bit. Did you know this is our fifth year of doing the cake auction? How many of you have been here for all five? You've been here for all five, you remember? And I got to take a moment to thank, if you're in here tonight especially, or maybe you're a significant other of someone who's who made a cake, and I resonate with you. If you've ever made a cake, you felt the stress. Because first of all, you know people are going to eat it and they're going to, you know, they're going to comment. But this stress is a lot different. When your cake's going to go up in front of like the carousel, like, and it's going to be put up on the screen, you're like, I've never felt that pressure because I just auction them off. So like, I recognize that there's a lot of stress in that. Just this past week, I made my son's cake for his birthday, and he said, "Dad, I want this cake to have like the center of the core of the earth." And I was like, "The earth is round. Cakes are not meant to be round." I'm like, "This is gonna be hard." And so I was like scratching my brain. So we figured it out, and I was making this cake, and like the different emotions that you go through when you're making a cake, especially as you're trying to do something that's a little bit different. Like, okay, I'm gonna cut it here, and I'm gonna try to, you know, like mold it here, and then like scoop some and stick that there, and like make it look like an earth. And then you're just like, "This is terrible. This is the worst. It's falling apart. Look at this caving in over here. I gotta freeze it. Get a stick. Stick that in there." And so I recognize the pressure that goes along with that, and so I'm so thankful every year, but this year just being the most recent, for all of you, primarily, not all, but primarily ladies who have been baking, and I've been getting texts and pictures like, "I don't think this is going to work out. We need to make a change." And so sometimes the flyer that has the name might be a little different than what you had, but we'll make you aware of what's going on. So I just want to say a public thank you for the cakes, and this being our fifth year, and we're always excited. It is a lot of fun, but let's talk about what actually happens. All the money that comes in for this cake auction, you probably saw it printed somewhere, goes towards everyone that's going to camp this summer, and that is true. What's happened, though, in the past, every time we go to Georgia, it's a big trip, and we want to have safe transportation, so we made the purchase and we said we're going to rent a charter bus. Well, that's a lot of money, and this particular year the cost is $5,000. Well, in the years past when we've gone to Georgia, the money that came in for the cake auction went toward that to cover it, and it never fully covered it, but it had to go towards a chunk. And I was like, "Man, this is a good chunk of money, but you know, we have to be able to afford that." Well, this year God has provided some people who said, "I want to help get you there, and I want to help donate money towards that." And we've had, out of $5,000, we've had $4,000 come in to cover the price of that bus. That was so far beyond what I was expecting and even thinking. And my part of me is like, "Why didn't you think of that years ago?" As excited as I am about that, this is also my little shameless plug. I have $1,000 left to cover this bus, and our goal is to take all the money that comes in tonight for this cake auction to be able to put it towards the individual so that their overall payment, and I'm feeling the rub, I'm feeling the burn. I know as a parent, now my son coming into the youth group this coming June, now two in, of the difficulty it is to pay for your kids to go, whether it's camp, activities, and different things like that. So parents, I resonate with you, and I feel that, and so our goal this year is to all that money to go towards that. So, if the Lord so lays upon your heart, and you would like to be a blessing to help us reach that 5,000, there's 1,000 left, I'll leave that there with you. All right. But camp is so important. I say this a lot. Camp is so, so important for our teens and for me, for our whole entire youth ministry, for our leaders, and I would even go out and farther and say camp is important for our church. You say, well, I've never gone with you to camp. That's okay. You don't have to. I believe many times we as a church feel the effect of what happens in the lives of our students for months on to come. And, you know, sometimes we are cynical, especially if you've grown up in church and maybe you're an adult and you say, yeah, well, my kids, they're just going to go to camp and they'll change for a week and then they'll be back to who they were. I would just ask you to be patient with what God's doing in all of our lives. I didn't get saved until I was 17 years old, and it took several years for God to really begin to change me. I wouldn't say get me where he wants me, because that's still a process, but to change me to where, like as Pastor said this morning, you could look at that someone and say, hey, that person's been with Jesus. And so there is a process that God is doing in the lives of our students, so be patient with that, but camp is so very vital to what we do in a youth ministry, and I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. I would like to just remind you, and maybe some of you are here that you've never heard this before, I would like to put before you what the mission of our youth ministry is. So on the screen, you're going to see there's just no outline for you to fill in tonight, so rest easy. What is the mission of the Fusion Youth Ministry? We exist to enlist students to become believers, to equip them to become disciples, so through the discipleship process, and we used to say to engage them to be completely sold out to Jesus Christ. And I've changed that because I do believe these two go hand in hand, but if you are completely sold out to Jesus Christ, you will begin to reproduce yourself and make disciples. So I've changed the wording on this to simply say this is our number one focus within everything that we strive to do. Are we actively giving out the gospel? Are we challenging our students to take the next step in their faith and to become discipled and providing the leaders and the help to do that? And are we pushing them towards discipling others and beginning to help reproduce themselves? And the simple answer in a nutshell is yes, we are. We've seen God do great things. We've had many of our teens discipled, and we have several right now who are actively discipling other teenagers. And so we're getting to see our mission come to fruition, come to life, to bear fruit. Well, what is the vision? That is the mission. That was what we will always do. The vision that we have is much more specific to what we want to do in this community. We want to impact Pasco County, all of Pasco County, with the gospel of Jesus Christ by our students living on mission in their local schools, and we could even add to that, or circles of influence. Now, this is something that well over a year ago, God began to lay on my heart that, you know, a lot of churches and youth ministries have a very similar thing. They'll say, you know, we want to reach people that are lost and we want to discipleship. And that's true. That should be, but it shouldn't really veer off from that, should it? But more specifically, what is it that we should be doing as a youth ministry? And that is what, I can't go into great detail, but tonight I want to just remind you and share with you that specifically our vision is Pasco County. And I know when I shared this first with our teens, they're like, okay, how does that work? Does it just sound good to say we're going to reach all of Pasco County? I believe wholeheartedly that, not that only, but I do believe that God wants to do a great work through his church, but I do believe that a great powerful work is done through teenagers. And I do believe that if our teenagers get on fire for Jesus and begin to not only live for him, but share the gospel with their friends and those who they come into contact with, what amazing things could happen. So we broke down in three different ways. What does a win look like? When we know that we're starting to see that vision come to fruition. We also believe that vision is not something that's going to happen in a year. It's going to take some time. And I told many of our teams, I said, some of the, you're not going to see that like come to fruition or just happen, you know, within your time, even within the youth ministry. That's something that we are striving for and hoping to keep our eye on that. So there's three different ways we decided we want to break up a win. The first way we believe that it would happen was when students actually start to come to Christ. When our students actually begin to share their faith and bring kids to youth group or bring them to church and see the gospel begin to impact their life. When we start to see teens come to Christ, what happens when someone who doesn't know Christ or a family doesn't know Christ and someone gets saved and they go home and they begin to tell and they begin to share? Many times we've seen how it happens. A family can start to come to Christ. A family's impacted. We've seen families come to church because of a teenager or because of a child even coming to VBS or to various ministries. And so we believe that the process is students need to meet students or reach them. And as they reach them, we'll begin to see families come to Christ. And ultimately, we believe we'll begin to see schools begin to change and begin to come to Christ. Now, I know that's vague and it might be a little bit general. There's more specific things that we have, but for sake of time tonight, I wanted to just at least put that before you and remind you this is what the direction that we're headed. The next thought I had was, well, who will help us win? Who can help us win and or see some victory and see some fruit from these different things? And the first thing and foremost is parents. I don't remember where I saw this statistic at, but it was really gripping for me when my first few years I got into youth ministry. It would give a statistic of, you know, what type of teens will you reach, what type of teens will you connect with and actually see them change, and they begin to live their life for Christ. And they said that a teen whose parents were engaged and even actively engaged in church had a much, much higher rate of success. And I began to think about that, not that by any means that anyone else is a lost cause, but that as I began to think about parents and the impact and the influence, and I always try to reiterate this, and I want to again tonight, parents, you do not understand the influence that you have and how much more impactful than you think it is. They'll never tell you that until years later, but your impact is far greater than you realize. And so as parents, I would say to you, I ask that you not only support the mission that we have and the vision that we have, but that you do everything you can to help. What can I do to help? I want to be a help. I believe what you're doing. I believe it's right. And so parents, I need your help. We need your help. Obviously, most first and foremost with your own student and your own child. But the second way, second group of people that will help us win are prayer warriors. I'm going to dive more into this shortly, but this, again, this sounds really spiritual, I know. This is how we win. We get people to pray. But I'm becoming more and more convinced in my years of ministry, but also just in life, how empty for years I've been operating within ministry, not having the proper prayer support that we need and have needed. And so I have found some prayer warriors that I've got on board, so to speak. And again, I said, I'm going to speak more to this in a minute because I am looking for more prayer warriors, and I'll explain what I mean by that. But I want to jump real quick to talk about camp a little bit. Every year, I say, you've probably heard me say that I believe this is the top thing that we do within a youth ministry as far as importance, and that it's so important and how it affects and impacts our students' lives. But I also want to talk about how it's impacted my life. Every year that we go to camp, I tell my leaders, especially if they're new, and they say, hey, I've never gone to camp before, you know, what should I expect? I tell them, do not go in thinking that this is for the teens, because you're going to get so much more out of this than you could possibly imagine. But every year when I go, I specifically pray, because God's been teaching me that very lesson, that it's not just for our teens. And so I begin to pray, God, I want you to show me what two things. What do I need for my life? And what, give me some direction, give me some vision, for our youth ministry. Those are the two main things that I pray and I seek the Lord for when I go during a week of camp. Well, I've said this before, but last summer we went to camp in Leesburg, and we were in Florida there for 1 week, and specifically the thing that God placed on my heart, it became very clear throughout the camp, but even as a theme within the things that, as we were meeting as a group, we were having talks and we were praying together, but one thing kept coming up over and over and over again, and that was prayer. Prayer. And how important prayer is and how powerful prayer is. And I began to be overwhelmingly convicted, not only that week, but like a week, 2 weeks later, I went on family vacation. And all week during that week of family vacation, as in my personal devotions, God just kept giving me stuff over and over again. I went to a church to visit. What did they talk on? Prayer. And it was like I could not get away from it. God was doing something in my life. Camp directly affected me, and so it became very clear, and I told the teens before I even left, I said, I don't know what it's going to look like, I said, but somehow, some way, God's working in my heart about prayer. We need to change how we do things in our youth ministry. So I said, stay tuned. And so as I went on for the next several months, even during that week of vacation, I went, God began to give me messages that I used. We themed our whole entire winter retreat this January that we just did. It was on prayer. It was seeking God through prayer. So we taught on prayer. We made everything that week about prayer. And so it affected not only my personal life, it affected our youth ministry through the way of the winter retreat. And this is, I want to talk about prayer warriors just for a minute. I am persuaded of this, and this is why I'm asking, this is why I'm seeking. I'm looking for some individuals who are very serious about praying. Not just in general, like, hey, I'm praying for you in the youth ministry. I appreciate that. I don't take that for granted. I don't think it's less. I'm just simply saying I'm looking for someone who'd be willing to meet with me, and I want to share with you my burdens. I want to share with you my heart about what God's doing, what he's been doing, and what I see him doing. I want to share with you and give you specifics. I want to give you names, and I want to give you some of the things that we're walking through that I don't get the opportunity to share with the church at large. And so I'm saying, I'm asking for you to be willing to meet with me periodically. I have at least one gentleman that I meet with, and it has such a sweet time when we meet together, and he comes to me, and he's got a list of names, and he's been asking, I've been praying for this, how is this going? And it's so encouraging to me. I'm not only looking for someone to be willing to say, I love to pray, this is a gift that God's given me, and I want to pray, but I'm also looking for, down the road, I don't know when this is going to unfold or how, but I'm looking for people who'd be willing to pray for us during our service, during our Wednesday night service, at the very least before, because, and I hope our teens won't be offended by this, but the truth is, many of our teens come to Wednesday night and they're already at a deficit spiritually, meaning that they're not always coming hungry after God and seeking after God, and they haven't been hard after the Lord and coming and excited. Sometimes it's difficult on a Wednesday night, and it's kind of like, are you guys alive? And so I know that not only that's going, but then there's opposition from the enemy. And I believe wholeheartedly that we need people praying. I know so many of you are praying, you're nodding, and I'm so thankful for that. I know that many of you pray on Wednesday nights for our teens during the services here with the adults. Please don't hear me not saying that I'm not thankful for you. I am. But I'm asking for someone to kind of take this on as a commitment and say, I want to do this. I want to pray for you and for your leaders and for your teens. I want to be much more involved in that way, because I'm persuaded, absolutely persuaded, that the more people we get praying and the more that we have seeking and begging God and crying out to him, God is going to do a great thing and continue to do a great thing, should I say. One of the things that came through not only God working in my heart about prayer, but just something that God's been doing in our church, I would say as a whole, and through various events, I became so convicted about not only that the lack of prayer that we were having, but the lack of a drive and a thrust toward evangelism. So I'm going to show you tonight what you've heard me mention, Pastor Todd has mentioned, but I wanted you to see it in person. If you haven't been in the chapel, you haven't had the opportunity to see this. But this is what we call our war board. All right? One night, you can't see me now, so I probably should move this. one night, we had it was the night we had a prayer night here in church, and we were all combined, and after we sang together, the teens went over here, the children went over here, and we set up the cross, and we asked the teens to write down names on a sticky note and to put it on the cross of students that they knew did not know Christ. And I told you this story a couple weeks ago when we had a baptism, that very night, as we did that, we had, I forget how, 160-something names put on here, and they're there, right? We counted them before. And so that night, we began to pray, and then eventually we got them printed and put on the board and everything. Well, that night, within 24 hours, two of the people who we began to pray for accepted Christ, within 24 hours. And so what that showed me that very night was, number one, you're a dummy for not doing this a long time ago. But number two, it showed me that this cannot just be something that we do every once in a while. Prayer cannot be something that we just kind of begin and end our services with. Prayer needs to be a part of our DNA. It needs to be a part of our ministry. And so we put this war board together, and at the very bottom right of this, you would see that we have this black little square here, and those two names of those students that accepted Christ, we put them in there. That represents those who got saved. Well, today, you saw a couple weeks ago, one of those girls named Taylor, she got baptized a couple weeks ago here at our church. The other gentleman's name is Brandon. This morning at Idlewild Baptist Church, he got baptized. And so both people who we got to pray over, and it's God's work, we know that, but got to see them become accept Christ, become baptized, and we have several more on this list that we're praying for. Some we're hearing about, hey, they're close, but they're not there. We're continuing to seek God in prayer. And so we've made this war board as a reminder to us. We do it as part of every Wednesday night service. We take time during the middle of our singing to stop. Ask a teen and an adult to pray over some of our names, to pray. We have our schools listed on here to pray over the schools. So I wanted you to get a picture of what we're doing, what God's been doing in my heart, in the hearts of our leaders, and in our youth ministry as a whole. And I wanted now to just take a few moments to take us to the scriptures. You don't need to open your Bibles. I'm going to have all the verses on the screen tonight. There's just four. And I wanted to kind of give us a challenge, what we as a church need to be, how we need to be connecting. How many of you, if you're older here, take that word with a grain of salt, you're older and you'd say, I just don't get teens, it's hard for me to connect. Raise your hand. I'll stop lying. Put your hands up. Bunch of holy saints. Good night. How many of you teens, you'd be like, I just don't get some of them older people. Come on, be honest, teens. They're all the same, Pastor. They're all lying, I'm telling you. Feel for you when you ask people to respond and they're like, so here's what I wanted to challenge us with. The first verse I wanted you to see tonight is in Titus 2, verse 2. It says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Now, there is a continuation in the thought, but notice this, that the aged men, and he gives a description of how they are to be in general. But he says in verse 3, the aged women likewise. So now there is a connection to not only the behavior, but this is the connection I wanted you to see. It says that they may teach the young women. There's a responsibility within the aged, interpret that however you want, men and women within the church, that we have a responsibility not just to be a good Christian, but to model it and teach it. Teach it. So what does that tell me? It tells me that there needs to be a connection. Many people say, oh, sometimes the youth ministry, they're off just doing their own thing. I promise you, that's not my desire. Yes, we do our own music and we do our own games. You probably wouldn't want to come to our activities and do Nerf Wars. Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. We do our own things. Yes, that's true. But what I want you to see is that we're not an island unto ourselves. We're not just doing our own thing. And trying to have our own little church, because we'd get terrible offerings, and that wouldn't work. But there is a connection between the aged and the young. Now, so that, adults, that's for you, but hang on. Teenagers, this is for you. 1 Timothy 4:12, you've probably heard this verse a million times. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, this is a message for you as teens. What is my responsibility? That you need to not allow your age to dictate what you can and can't do by way of, well, I'm not really taken seriously and no one really listens to me. That may be true. I'm not saying it's right. And that may be true, but there is something that Paul said that was very powerful. He says, if you will live as an example, if your life will be like this, in your word, in your conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, if you will be right there, it doesn't matter how old you are. And so what is our responsibility? What is teens, what is your responsibility? You have a way to live. The adults have a way to live. And it's not just because they're older. Oh, well, that you're supposed to do right because you're older. God doesn't give us that okay, well, I'm going to give you a little bit of a mercy because you're a kid. We allow you to sin. No, God says that as a young, as a youth, as a child, we still have a responsibility to live right. Now, here's the cool connection. 1 Peter, teens, this is still for you, but 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject. Did you catch that? All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So what does God say to the aged? Your disconnection and disdain for youth is not right. Teens, what does God say to you? Your disdain and disconnection from the aged is also not right. But if we all together say, you know what, I have a responsibility. God's given me a list of things that I'm to live by. Teens, I have a list of things that I'm to live by, and I'm to be able to, in humility, connect and respect and love and submit to one another. And so, yes, is there an aspect of submitting to the elders? Absolutely. Yes, you should say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and no, sir. That's just my opinion, but there is also a mutual respect that should be shown, church, that we need to have unity. And so my challenge is not to so much harp on, you know, behave and be good. My challenge for us as a church is to see, I want you to at least catch this, that what we are striving to do within the youth ministry is really no different than what we are striving to do as a church. You may not have seen this or heard it in a while, but this is actually the mission of our church. On the screen it says this: save the lost, grow the saved, equip disciples, and send forth workers. If you really were to compare that with the mission of the Fusion Youth Ministry, you'd find that really that they go hand in hand. And so what I want us to do tonight, and I'm going to ask Pastor to come in just a minute, I'm going to ask him to pray over all of us as a church, over our youth ministry, about unity and about a desire to be mutually respectful, but also a desire to connect. You know, there doesn't need to be that. I may not fully get everything, and that's fine. But I've been given a command to love and submit and be respectful in that regard, and that I need to love you, and you need to love me, and we need to love each other.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.